You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
They call me a bunga, they poke fun at the accent. You only speak one language, I'm a bunga. They have nots and I have less, I park bench for an address. A bunga, we're always blessed with some bad press. I live in situation average, just a bunga. I share a room with six relatives, we draw heat from a stovetop element. Bunga, our only meetings are corporate seedings. They only love us for sports achievements. Shana, see a bunga's what they call that. At least you're scoring tries for the All Blacks, then you Kiwi. Women clutch presses cross roads when they see me. And even if they see me, then it's usually on the TV. Police 10-7, see police been stressing and profiling. Unemployed, not because these employees aren't hiring, or cause we're not trying, but because the dull blood just download dirty soul suckers. Dark complexion so they don't trust us. Dark complexion so they don't love us. English broken figures gripping unpaid product. With pharmaceuticals, the only way we make profit. We have to die before they pay homage. Just an intergenerational cycle where we don't make progress. Don't forget we silent when it comes to abuse and domestic violence. Tyrants with a smug affliction, embedded too deep into drug addiction and gambling. We spend our rent on the pokies, we give a fuck about our families. See, there's little to no hope, G. Emotions are so manly, you don't understand me. Bunga, that's the value in my section. You see, we reproducing F kids only to neglect them. We're using our kids as a weapon. We the minority, whom should be government funded priority. But they perplex the battle flag, only to raise the sky high on stolen land. I'm speechless, they really be calling us leeches. The audacity, but I guess it is warranted until they need us. Bungers.
That is absolutely, undeniably, Swit It, of course, with Bunga. And we've got Spike in the studio. Morena, how you going?
Morena, what's up, beautiful people? Hope everyone's having a great day. Much love.
Hey, it's so great to have you in here. Since that track came out, it wasn't just a track, like it was a whole visual experience. It was this amazing thing, and it was kind of like you set off a massive flare or something, and people were suddenly like, oh shit, this is happening and still happening. And that was way back in September last year, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, September last year.
And what have you guys been up to since then?
We've just been working on music. Obviously, we've got the sophomore that we keep talking about, but I don't know, I guess as creatives and perfectionists in some way, it's like a never-ending journey. So hopefully we get to that destination real soon.
Well, we'll be excited when we do get there as well. But it's been awesome to hear the tracks that you have been like drip feeding us over that time as well. And Bunga was really remarkable because I think it opened a lot of people's eyes to a reality for Pacifica people in Aotearoa that a lot of like Palangi, Pākehā people had maybe forgotten or not ever realised was there. And we're seeing this conversation happen again right now with the Black Lives Matter movement kind of bringing that, you know, discussion back into New Zealand too. What do you guys feel about it? Since you put that track out, have you had people kind of like, I guess, talking to you as like, I guess, ambassadors for like the Pacifica experience or something?
I don't know if they're looking at us as ambassadors, but I guess people are just appreciative of us using our platform and speaking on something so important because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all, I guess, like minorities, Black Lives Matter movement, Māori and Pacifica, New Zealand are all going against the same sort of, you know, structures of oppression. So it's kind of, you know, different kind of story, but I'm still sort of fighting the same cause, I guess. So I don't know. I feel like at that time it was real topical. There was a lot going on with Ihu Mātau and that kind of, you know, just heaps of stuff going on in the world. And I don't know, kind of just wrote that thing up one night and then we just felt like we should just put it out there. We're going to save it for the sophomore, but I don't know, the time just felt right. And then we linked with Aniheda Parata and she sort of had the vision for the visual.
Yeah.
And then it just came out like a movie. So, yeah.
Cool. I think that is something that's really amazing about it is it's only like 2 minutes, 13 seconds or something, but it feels like a feature length kind of. You watch it and you're like, whoa, I don't know how long I've been seeing this. It's kind of remarkable. And Aniheda did an amazing job in
that. Hard out. It was kind of, I guess it's quite delicate because it's quite confronting. The topic is quite, you know, it's quite brutally honest. And if you aren't aware of, you know, people experiencing that kind of thing in Aotearoa at all, then I guess it can be a shock. And I guess it's a good thing because I guess sometimes, you know, something's not in our face all the time in the media and that it can sometimes be swept under the rug or forgotten. So I guess it was kind of good just to bring it back to light.
Totally.
And to sort of say that, yo, this is still happening here in New Zealand and, you know, people still have those views.
And I think as well, to kind of make that link between like the history of Auckland as a city, especially for Pacifico people, with the Dawn Raids, with the Polynesian Panthers, and then also the present moment where, as we're saying, this is still a reality, but maybe it looks a little bit different, or maybe it's like comes out in slightly different ways. I thought that was really interesting. And of course, this year is like 49 years of the Polynesian Panthers, and they are still going strong. How did you feel kind of like, I guess, using that moment of New Zealand's history to kind of talk about the present right now?
It felt good. I think it was just kind of interesting because I felt like I didn't learn about them until I was older. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's kind of weird that it's like a big part of our history here in Aotearoa, but we didn't learn about that stuff. We learned about like foreign history and stuff. So I guess when I did find out, I felt like, you know, wow, that's so cool that people, you know, put their lives on the line, I guess, just to, you know, help ensure that, you know, certain groups, you know, I guess were had their sort of rights, I guess, validated. So it felt real important. I've met like a few of them too, and had some yarns with them, and they're real down to earth. And I really feel like it's not a phase A for them. It's just that's their existence, that's their lifestyle, and they'll forever be that way. Which was, I was like blown away because it's, you know, very selfless too.
And that's, I think that's an interesting thing as well, as like a musician. How do you feel like your role and the role of like Swidit as a group is in terms of activism? Because I don't imagine you guys sit down and go, right, we're writing a song that is like an activist anthem, we're going to just write this track. I'm imagining is probably what you sit down as. But do you guys see yourselves as activists in that way?
Nah, not at all, eh? I don't know, we just look at ourselves as just like, we do social commentary and just speak on what we experience, what we know, and what we see out in the world. But I guess what comes of age comes a bit of, not so much duty, but kind of a bit of duty to, I feel like, educate, you know, the younger generation. And I feel like, you know, we understand our influence over the younger generation. And, you know, music is expressive. There can be a message behind it, but it doesn't always have to be a message. But I feel like for us, like that one, Bonga specifically, and No Emotions in the Wild, talking about, you know, suicide and stuff, that was something important, and I guess something on our minds during the creative process of making those projects. So we just felt that it was necessary, you know, to touch on it.
Totally. And then you kind of see how people react to that as well. It must be kind of validating to be like, oh yeah, people need this, and what we're doing is good in that sense.
I think it's funny because, like, I feel like Swidit's music is really underpinned by bravado, confidence, you know, quite braggadocious. But then I felt like in those moments of those songs, was quite vulnerable very raw and honest. And I felt like that connection, I felt like it was stronger. You know what I mean? Like strong, it was deeper with us and the fans. So you know, kind of took me back to like growing up, and you know, I listened to a lot of Tupac, and I felt like a lot of the issues he talked on, you know, really, I know, resonated with me, you know, for a lifetime till now. So I felt like, vulnerability, you know, it's awesome.
It's important, it's really important. And thinking about, I guess, like the history that you touch on in Bunga, as well as the contemporary stuff right now, one thing I find super kind of like amazing is the way that, like, the Dawn Raids happened like a generation ago. Like, you know, people our parents' age experienced that. And kind of like you were saying, Spike, we don't get taught about it in school in the same way that we get taught about World War One, World War Two, something, you know, New Zealand stuff that happened overseas. But here we've got these like massive situations that have never really properly been redressed because we don't know about it as a country. And I guess as like, as musicians, when you tell people, hey guys, this has happened to our parents, this is happening now still, it must be quite an interesting thing to see people go, oh my God, I didn't even know that as well. Do you find that sometimes?
No, hard out. Shucks, there's a quote, it's an African proverb, can't remember it exactly, but it's until the lion becomes a historian, history will always glorify the hunter. And I feel like that's kind of, you know, important for us as I guess Pacifica and Maori, is you know, ensuring that we have our own platforms, creating our own platforms where we can tell our stories unfiltered, and you know, directly from, you know, I guess the horse's mouth, for, you know, lack of better words. But
yeah,
that's why it's so cool seeing, like, you know, heaps of platforms starting to come up. I know I've seen Carver Bowl Media, and they're doing a lot of stuff, just specifically focusing on Pacifica and Polynesian communities, which is cool because then, you know, we're in charge of our own narrative.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it's a weird year. We've talked about this a lot with everybody's kind of come on the show in the last couple of months. Coronavirus has been such a weird time for the music industry. It's going to change our festival season,
man,
coming up.
Straight up.
Do you feel like there's some good things that could come out of that? Are you excited about maybe seeing some more New Zealand bands getting big platforms?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I think that's one of the, I guess one of the biggest pros that I can see is that they're going to have to look locally, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome because I guess sometimes, you know, people may get overlooked. And so I guess this is a massive opportunity for them to, you know, get a shot on those, you know, big platforms and festivals,
yeah.
which is cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys have been working on. We're going to play Who Are You, which is your most recent single. Can you tell us a bit about this track, Spike?
You know, it's funny going from all that, like, you know, talking about deep stuff. This is not really that deep. I guess, you know, like I said
duality,
before.
Duality, we got to have that.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said before, you know, music, not always a message, sometimes expression. And I guess, you know, this was a weird one. We kind of just pulled up to the studio one night. INF was in Tokyo. We didn't even know he was flying back. And he flew back. He pulled up to the studio. He had a bottle of Hennessy in his hand. He was pretty tipsy. And we're trying to do a session, and like people kept coming into the session, like just coming in randomly, sitting in. And so he was like real just like annoyed by it. And then Smoke pulled up this beat that he had made that night. And then INF was pretty much just, he just freestyled his verse, and I was just so, like, you know, get the F out when I'm recording. Like, he was like, honestly, it wasn't even like people weren't quiet when he was recording too, which I guess adds to the vibe. But
excuse me, I am working here.
Yeah. So he just kind of went on that buzz, and then I guess it's just like a song, you know, just feeling tipsy, I guess, feeling some type of way, and then just expressing your truths, I guess. So
hard out. Hey, it's a great track. We're gonna play it now. Spike, thank you so much for coming and chatting to us. We're really looking forward to hearing what Swidit has been brewing up for us in the next couple of months.
Nah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
For me, 'cause when we come back, you know we raising the feet. Who are you? setbacks ain't a major for me. Cause when we come back, you know we raising the feet. Fuck.
That is Swidit with Who Are You? Thank you so much to Spike for coming and having a chat with us. I'm so looking forward to hearing what else Swidit has been working on in the last year, and really excited to see what they've got in store for us too. So thank you so much for coming up and having a conversation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.